This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 240.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, how you guys doing? Guys, I got a kick-ass masterclass expert interview here with my boy, Billy Alvaro, out of New York. Guys, if you don't know Billy, you're about to meet him, and the guy just drops gold and so much knowledge in the areas of scaling a business, marketing, niche marketing, how to separate yourself from the competition through credibility packages, etc., how to connect, build rapport with sellers. I mean, so just so you guys have a little bit of perspective, Billy's been in the industry for a long, long time. He's been on the mortgage side. He's obviously now on the investing side. Combined, his companies have been involved in about $1.3 billion with a B dollars worth of annual worth of volume on an annualized basis, and the guy's companies have been involved in almost 12,000 real estate transactions. You know, he's got a ton of awards. He's been, you know, fastest growing company on the Inc. 500, top 40 business person under the age of 40, and the list goes on and on. But best part about Billy is that not only is he a friend, but as you're going to see, he's just genuine. He's always giving, and he's killing it. I mean, the guy, you know, people talk about quote unquote crushing it. The guy is doing a lot of volume, and we actually have an interesting conversation about the topic of volume. So there's so much that I think, so much insight I think you're going to get from this podcast episode, and things that I believe are really going to help you from a marketing perspective and from separating yourself in a competitive market, in a competitive landscape. So yeah, without further ado, let's just jump right into it. Billy, what is going on, my friend? How's it going, brother?
Alex, how are you, man? How's everything?
Dude, I am doing awesome, man. It's always, let me tell you, man, before we kind of get into the meat of today's podcast, you're one of those guys that, you know, from the moment we connected close to a year ago, dude, you just always got a smile on your face. You got like, you got positive vibes. You got really good energy. You're just a good dude, man. So it's always, always great to connect with you.
I really appreciate that. And I got some set of teeth. Some people say I have chiclets to teeth.
You're a young man. Come on. That goes without saying.
It's hysterical.
Good, buddy. Good, man. Well, hey, listen. So it's awesome to have you on the podcast. For people that might not know who you are, guys, you're in for a treat today. Billy is an absolute stud. The guy's a beast. I mean, he crushes it in his business out in New York, and just somebody who has been around the game for a long time and has so much to add, so much content, so much value. The show, is, as you guys know, is, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. So we're going to really focus, guys, today on marketing. I mean, that's one of Billy's unique abilities, and one of the reasons his business is thriving is because of, you know, he doesn't do what most other investors and wholesalers do from a marketing standpoint. He's not just out there sending the same postcard, the same mail piece that everybody sends. I mean, the guy just has it down to a science as far as when it comes to niche marketing. And he's got a crazy, crazy multi-step system and a campaign that that I think really differentiates him from other investors in the area. And not just that, but if you guys were to see this dude's credibility package, I mean, it's easily probably the best one I've seen. The attention to detail, all the information it has for the homeowner. And it's not just feature driven, it's benefit driven for the homeowner. So, you know, we're going to really focus in on marketing. So Billy, man, before we kind of get into that piece, can you just, you know, for people that don't know who you are, I already, you know, kind of introduced you, but what does your business look like today? How you got started in the business? And then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Great question. So, I mean, my whole life has been, since my mid-20s, has been involved with mortgages and real estate. Just as a quick background, you know, you alluded to the fact that I'm a marketer, and that's really the business I'm in. Right now, obviously, I'm marketing to buy and sell real estate, but marketing is the lifeblood of any business. My prior life, when I had my mortgage company, we scaled that mortgage company over a 6, 7, 8 year time frame from myself and a partner in a room, literally with two computers and an assistant. And within 5 years, we were in Inc. 500 magazine, not Inc. 5000, but Inc. 500 as the 136th fastest growing company. And we were pushing out 1,000 units a month at the height of the business. Now, of course, a lot of people would say you had the economy behind you, the economy was driven, but there were a lot of guys who started the same time we started that were only doing 30, 40 deals a month where we were pushing out 1,000. And the reason being was because of the sales and marketing ability that we put into the front end. And I have to warn you, you have to, if you have that many units, you have to be able to produce in the back end. And that's where I failed in my first business as an entrepreneur. Very good with sales and marketing, but I didn't have the operational platform to really support what was going on. And instead of me putting systems and processes in place, I actually hired more bodies thinking they were going to fix the problem. And it just created more overhead and less of a bottom line. So just, you know, if you're looking to scale this business in the wholesale side or the renovation side, you have to make sure that your sales and marketing, your operations can support the sales and marketing efforts that you're putting through. I've changed my whole game in the last 10 years since I've been doing this business full time. I actually governed myself. I had to put a governor on what I was doing on the sales and marketing side because it's very easy for me to grow. Yeah. I really needed to pay special attention to the operational side to make sure I got my efficiencies in place, my systems in place, my automations in place to handle the volume that we were going to put through. And now we're ready to really scale, you know, regionally and nationally if we choose to do so. And we're still contemplating which way we want to go. We're very profitable. We're making a shit ton of money and we're having a lot of fun doing it. And that's what matters.
Brother, I want to kind of pause for a second because that was such a valuable point and lesson that you just shared. I'm hoping people picked up. You know, everybody's out there talking about, I want to scale my business. I want to do 10, 15, 30 deals a month, whatever it might be. And people just think that they can throw money at that, but they don't take into account that, yeah, you might be able to throw money at marketing, drive a bunch of leads, but do you have the systems? Do you have the back end, the operations in place, like you just explained, to handle that volume, to service those homeowners and to do right by them, you know? And it, even if you're not direct to seller, if you're buying deals off the MLS, it still applies. Do you have the infrastructure to handle, you know, your business scaling up? You know, I think sometimes my opinion, Billy, is that you got to slow down in order to speed up, you know, and you have to.
I 100% agree with that statement. That is a perfect statement for this. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate, man, you've always been somebody that's just always been so transparent. And, you know, you and I, we know a bunch of people that they just talk about the success. But I think we learn, I personally learn even more from my failures and from hearing other people's failures. So I'm glad that you kind of highlighted the fact that, look, you know, we grew this to be a monster. But the reason it failed was because we just didn't invest the time, energy, resources, capital to build out the systems, the infrastructure, et cetera. And obviously that's something that you learn from. And that's one of the reasons that your business has grown so much today.
Yeah, most definitely. 100%. You nailed it on the head.
Yeah.
You know, the whole key thing with scaling is the operational side, the systems and the operations. So I know that's not the topic of this conversation. I know you want to get into the marketing end, but you know, anybody who's listening, just be prepared if you're going to scale for that back end piece. Make sure you have it tight.
I love it. Absolutely. Beautiful, man. So how big is your team today? You know, like you don't have to talk about volume, but like what types of deals are you guys involved in? And then we'll kind of pivot into the marketing.
Yeah, no, we can talk about anything. So we, over the last 4 years, I really pulled myself out of the business, right? So when I first started this thing full time in 2009, 2010, it was just me with a desk and a computer. And since then, every 6 months to a year, I've just replaced myself by systematizing a part of the business. And where it sits today is I have a full-time sales manager who oversees 4 acquisitions guys. We have one person who sells all my properties on the back end on the wholesale side. I have one operations person that handles the closing piece. I have 2 transaction coordinators that handle selling of the properties and also front end when we're dealing with retail buyers when we're renovating and putting it on the market. I have a project manager who's also my cousin and my godson, Wayne, who runs my the renovation side of the business. And then we have a full-time bookkeeper. Okay. And we have a lot of other people that are outside the business that are not full-time with us that do miscellaneous things, you know, a couple of VAs that help us out with some marketing and some administrative tasks. But that's the core of our group right now. And it's working well. Volume-wise, you know, I kind of get a kick out of people when they speak about how many deals they're doing and they never really speak about the money. And I can tell you that I care more about what I'm holding on to than what my top line is. And I learned that when I had the mortgage bank. You know, we had the mortgage bank and we were scaling and growing. We were actually more profitable percentage-wise when we were doing $10 million a year in revenue versus when we were doing $42 million a year in revenue. So, yeah. You know, for us, we're approaching the $2 million mark for net as our income side. And I think over the next 3 years, I can get my net income after I have all overhead expensed out we can get that to about a $5 million mark. Now, it's not going to be just in this market. I'm going to have to expand into other markets.
Sure.
And over the last 4 years, that's what we've been positioning to do. We've just been positioning to get ourselves to a point where we could scale this the right way without having the inside operational structure pull apart on us.
So there's a couple of things I want to kind of highlight and piggyback on what you just said. Number one, I totally agree with you. And it's a breath of fresh air to hear you talk about. It's not about the volume. It's not about the, but ultimately it's, you know, it's understanding like what's the vision you have for your business. What do you want this thing to look like? But there's so many people out there talking about, oh, I do X amount of deals a month. What does that really mean? Like, what does that translate to the bottom line? Are you doing 20 deals a month, but you have no life and you're working 20 hours a day? Like, so just, I want to just kind of mention that, guys, because there's not a right or wrong. I think you just have to get crystal clear on what you want the vision for your business to look like, and then go out and pave your way and, you know, set out to create the kind of business that's going to support the lifestyle you want, not necessarily what you hear me say or Billy or somebody else. So
don't
get overwhelmed by the volume that you might hear people talk about, because, you know, there's just, that doesn't tell the full story is the first thing I just kind of wanted to touch on. So I'm sure you would agree with that, Billy, because you and I are around a bunch of people, great people, but you know, they're always talking about volume, and it's, to me, it's like, that's great, but what does that really mean? You know?
Right. What does it mean? How many hours a week are you personally in the business? What's your net bottom line after you're pumping through 20, 30, 40, 50 deals a month? I have people, friends that, you know, that we know that are putting through a lot of volume, but what's their true bottom line and how many hours are they personally spending? You know, in contrast to when I had my mortgage bank, I was working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. I had no life. I was making a shit ton of money, but I had zero life. And I told myself, once that business crumbled, the crash happened, that I lost everything, I went upside down, I said, the next business that I create, I'm going to have it serve me. I'm not going to be serving the business. This business needs to support my lifestyle, how I want to live. And I want to live very comfortably. And I don't mind putting in the hours in the beginning, but I don't want to be stuck to a desk. And now, you know, here I am 8 years later, I can work from anywhere, a few hours a day. My team is doing their things and I'm able to go in, check my KPIs, look at where the stats are, and really only deal with the high level items that my attention needs to be on. I don't need to be focusing on the small stuff anymore, nor should I have to. I got good people around me that are doing that.
That's right. You have a real business. You know, your job, I think, as the visionary, as the leader, as the entrepreneur is, you know, to focus on the things that are going to really move the needle, the things that give you energy, the things you're passionate about, looking at KPIs, making high level decisions, and then putting the right people in the right seat to like do what they're good at and getting the hell out of their way, you know, so.
Absolutely. You know, my whole big thing is just growth. I could see something and I could figure out how to make it work and get it started and get it going in the right direction, and then bring somebody in to oversee that piece and allow them to implement the rest of it and have me move on to the next thing. And it's been my forte for the last 20 years of my life. I love building, but I don't like the after effect of managing. I'm not a manager. I'm not good at managing anything. I'm good at inspiring. I'm good at vision. I'm good at leading. I'm good at taking the company to the next level. But as far as me, you know, managing crap, that's not for me, man. It's not my personality style.
I'm curious, Billy, on the Colby, are you a high quick start?
I'm super high. I'm off the charts high.
Yeah, that's what I would have figured. Got it. Perfect, man. Well, dude, let's kind of pivot and transition into the marketing, because this is something that, guys, you know, whether you've done no deals, you know, and you're really, you haven't done any deals, or if you've done five or if you've done 500, trust me when I tell you, you can learn a lot from Billy when it comes to marketing. And as you can tell, some of the other parts of the business. So I have, you know, through the mastermind we're a part of, I've had an inside look as to just some of the multi-step campaigns that Billy has in his business. And it is insane as far as the level of detail, follow-up, and the type of marketing, you know, the type of branding that he puts out to the marketplace. So Billy, man, I know this is the kind of like a very broad general topic, but you know the ins and outs of your business. I'll kind of let you take it from here as far as like, what do you think people can benefit from when it comes to, you know, separating themselves from the competition, number one, whether that be through their marketing and or how they present themselves, if they're direct to seller and they're getting face to face. And because, man, you and I both know, like my acquisitions manager tells me on a weekly basis, you know, when he goes and he meets with homeowners, it's not uncommon to find 15 to 30 mail pieces, of which 90% of them look exactly the same.
Right. So that's a key point. You nail it there. And then when you're going to the appointment, you know, you're up against 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other players who are going to make an offer to that seller. So you know, instead of focusing on the marketing first, let's focus on that piece because that's where we're at. So to separate yourself from the competition, you need to do just that. You need to separate yourself in every way. So it starts from the way you answer the phone. It starts with your marketing piece, and it starts by the way you answer your phone. But if you're good enough to get a lead, to get in front of them, you have to have things that your competition doesn't have. You said earlier when you introduced me about the credibility pack we have. So originally when we started off, we had what everybody does. We put together a basic credibility package that had a little bit about the benefits of doing business with us, but it was really about us. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It can't be about us. It has to be about them. So I sat down with a very good copywriter. I sat down with a very good graphic artist, and we came up with you've seen it. I've given you a copy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We came up with a very, very good credibility package that honestly separates us from the competition, but there's a caveat to it. My guys in the office, when we created this, they were coming to me and they were saying, listen, it doesn't work the way you're telling me it works. And every single one of my conversations in the office over the phone or when they go to the person's house is recorded. Every conversation. So we could do a postmortem and find out what we did right. If we did something right, we got it. We use that in training. If we did something wrong, what could we learn from it? When I went in and I started listening to how it was being presented, I realized that they were just handing this credibility packet over and say, here's a little something about the company. That does nothing. That does nothing to the seller. All you're doing is giving them a packet that they're going to take, look at it, it's nice, they're going to put it on the site. You need to go through piece by piece. We have elements, element by element, of why this is important to them, what it means to them. And you start off with the important pieces, the credibility pieces. So for me, we have a radio show. So that it automatically lends credibility. We have a DVD recorded video of the radio show, which goes into, I think I interviewed an attorney on that one, how not to be scammed and what to look for and why people who sell to a cash buyer versus a realtor, what the benefits are. So that's a whole piece on credibility. We have another DVD in there of Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank, which lends itself to credibility because he does a 17-minute interview with me, naming me the investor with integrity in the Northeast. It's another credibility fact. And there's a testimonial CD in there that has like 15 to 20 video testimonials of people. So that's just about the credibility piece. Then what's in it for them? We have elements in this package that tells them, listen, we have guarantees. First off, if we don't close in the timeline you want to close, we're going to pay you an additional $1,000. Here's the certificate. We actually give them a certificate. If for some reason we don't close October 31st, we want you to bring this to the closing because we're going to pay you an additional $1,000. Yeah. In their head, if they have 10 other people coming, that's not being done by the other people. The next thing, we go in and we say, listen, depending on this situation, they might need cash up front to move, cash up front to pay a moving company or to put down the down payment on an apartment. As long as we have clear title, we'll give them a $10,000 0% interest tax-free loan against their property, advance on the purchase price that they'll pay back once we actually close. Of course, the caveat is they have to have clear title. Nobody does that. We go in with a real bank statement, not with a letter from a bullshit bank, not with a letterhead from somebody who says, I have the money. It's a real bank statement updated every single month.
Billy, you mean people actually do that? People actually have fake proof of money?
Yeah. So we, as we're going through this whole credibility packet and we're weaving through all the elements, what my guys do not do, and they're trained very specifically, they do not beat up the competition, talk about the competition, say the competition sucks, they're out to rip them off. But I tell them, make sure that they compare apples to apples. So when they have another guy that comes in that might be same price or might be a little higher, the seeds of doubts are going to be in their heads because they're going to look at us and what we're bringing to the table and everything we have to offer with all of these guarantees, and then compare it to the competition, and there is no comparison. Yeah. We're the ultimate choice. And so I went out on my own and I said, I'm going on calls, guys. I'm going to actually go back on the road. This was about a year ago. And I'm going to start going on some of these appointments to show you how to use this credibility packet. My first appointment, I went in against seven others. The highest bid was about $40,000, like $39,000 more than my bid. Damn. I was up against a bid and I got the deal. Why? I knew how to get, I read this guy's personality. I got him to know me, like me, trust me. But more importantly, I wove my personality in with all of these credibility packets and I hit on the things that was important to him. And when he told me his highest offer, I said, Dr. Vic, and he wasn't even a doctor. That's a whole other story. But I said, Dr. Vic, I wish I could go up that high. But unfortunately, you know the way the market is, and I'm going to close. And I put so much doubt in his head without bashing the other guy. He called me back the next day and said, Billy, listen, I need you to come up just a little bit. I came up $1,500. I got that deal 37.5 below what the highest guy was because of the way in which we connected with this person and because of the credibility package. It is worth its weight in gold. And it looks good. It's a slick package. It's really put together. Like, you've seen it. It's very, very professional looking, but it's all benefit driven to the sellers.
Yeah. So number one, I can definitely vouch for it. High quality. It's easily the best one I've seen. But that's why I said at the top of the show, it's not feature driven. It's benefit driven. It's about, you know, most people just talk, hey, we've been in business X amount of years. This is how many transactions. Nobody gives a shit about that. It's these sellers care, you know, what's that famous radio station, WIIFM or whatever, what's in it for me?
Yep. That's it. Yep. That's it.
So you touched on something, you know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. So your job is you have to connect, you got to build rapport, you got to get these people to make them feel as if they've known you for 10, 15, 20 years and you're there to help them. And you genuinely have to want to help them. Like, it's not, you can't just see people as dollar signs.
Right. It can't be a facade. You really need to go in there with putting the, my thing is I want to go in and I want to leave everybody I touch, whether it's a seller or somebody like you that comes in my life, I want to leave them in a better state than when they came in touch with me. And if you have that mentality with everybody you're doing business with, everybody you meet, Starbucks, deli, wherever it is, and you have that mentality that you're going to leave them in a better state, the good things are going to come back your way because it's real. People see the realness. They don't have, it's not a facade where I'm there just for the dollars. I'll walk away from deals if I don't think it's a good deal for them and me. But if I know this is the max I can pay, that's it. And if they want to do business and they trust me, know me like me, trust me, and they give me the opportunity to show them what we can do, fantastic. And if not, my biggest line, we just part as friends. That's it. We part as friends.
It's such a powerful story because if you're out there trying to compete on price, especially in the landscape of the market we're in, you're going to lose, you know? So you would ask, well, why would I would, you know, I remember when I first got started in the business, Billy, I would say to my biggest mental hurdle was, why would somebody sell me their house at 50, 60 cents on the dollar? I would never do that. And then it wasn't until like a mentor actually told me, forget about what you would do. People are in different places in their life. It's not about you. It's about them. And if you add enough value, you know, people will take less to work with you if they really believe, if you've instilled confidence in them. And, you know, so that's a powerful story that this guy took 40 grand less or 38 grand less, whatever it was, to work with you because he had confidence you were going to close. And I think the last thing I'll mention is, you know, you touched on a few things that I don't know very many investors that do. You have a certificate that I've seen it. It doesn't look cheesy. It's, hey, I'll give you X amount of dollars. I think you said it's $1,000 if we don't close. Yep. And then the other thing that I just kind of want to quickly touch on, the cash advance, that kind of piqued my interest because that's not something that we're currently doing. Have you had situations in which you give this loan up front and it doesn't close for A or B reason? Are you protecting yourself by recording some type of mortgage on the property? Can you just maybe for a minute or two just kind of talk about how you structure that piece?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing, and it's written in the document, is that the title needs to be clear. So as long as we have clear title that nothing's going to hurt us from not closing, then we're going to give the advance up to $10,000. Now, we've had one case over the last couple of years because we've been doing this guarantee without the actual hard copy certificate. We just implemented the credibility packet, this one, about a year ago. But we did have one person over the last 5 years that it was an advance and they had clear title and they refused to close. And in that case, what we did is once it came down and we were trying to set the close and they wouldn't do it, we just put, we filed a memorandum against the property. Then it got to a point where I had to file an LP against the property. Everything was documented. Everything was good. We actually did specific performance enforcing the close because they got a higher offer 2 months later and they were going to try to take it. And I said, it just doesn't work like that. We agreed on everything. You can't renegotiate the contract after the fact. And it was actually somebody that I know that's in the business that found that I had the deal and he was just being an asshole, excuse my French, and trying to screw the deal up and he wasn't going to close. And it ended up that the sellers eventually closed with us. But yeah, if you're going to advance, I would definitely recommend doing something against the property, some sort of memorandum or some sort of document that's just going to cloud the title to make sure. And then if they don't close, you're going to have to sue them for specific performance and take them to court. And generally when it gets to that point, you know, they're going to end up closing.
Yeah, got it. And assuming, you know, you talked about the property having to have clear title, are you only doing this in cases in which the homeowner owns the property free and clear, or at the very minimum, there's a certain percentage of equity in the deal, obviously?
Yeah, so another good question. We won't do it ever on short sales because it's illegal, but we will do it on properties that have mortgages. We just want to know that there's enough equity in the deal that's going to support that $10,000 advance. And most, because we're in New York, most of the properties we're buying, do have a ton of equity, at least the ones we're marketing for. We're not really marketing on the short sale side, but if this is a tight deal, that will never work because there's not enough money in the deal that they're going to be getting at the closing table.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yep. Makes sense. Billy, before we start to kind of wrap it up here in the next maybe 5 to 10 minutes, I want to kind of talk about it. And I realize this can be challenging on an audio podcast, so because people can't see your mail pieces, et cetera. But can you just talk about like, what are the good elements of a mail piece? And if you can kind of share, if you don't mind, like what are some of the types of mail pieces in today's market that you have seen? Because man, let me just be totally upfront and transparent. Our direct mail right now, I feel like is struggling. Like we're seeing about 0.5% response rate and we're constantly split testing. We're trying to push the envelope. What do we need to do to get more juice out of the squeeze with our marketing dollars? So I'm kind of curious, you know, your thoughts on, you know, whether you want to talk specifically about mail pieces or just what do you think you need to do from a marketing perspective to, you know, get the most out of your marketing dollars?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's something that we do that a lot of guys, they want to brand their company when they're first sending out mail. And we've tested, at least in my market, the branded material that we send out, Easy Close, Easy Sell Property Solutions with a picture of my little logo on it, it's company driven. And for some reason in our market, it doesn't pull nearly as well as the blank pieces that we send out, whether they're handwritten, they're typed up, it's a handwritten postcard, when it's just generic coming from an individual. So every single one of my campaigns, the 9 or 10, or I think we're up to 11 now, different niches that we have, every niche has 12 steps. Every step has its own specific telephone number for that particular campaign. So we can track down granular of what's happening, not only in the campaign, but each step of the campaign. And then we, with every campaign step, we're constantly split testing like you. You have one of my pieces that had, you know, came up with a piece where it had like a coffee stain on the on the postcard or a coffee stain in the letter. And I got to tell you, it works because it looks real. It looks like somebody actually went to their mailbox and put this coffee-stained postcard in their mailbox, and it just gives you a bump up. What also bumps up is doing the Google Street View of the property. That's a bump up. What also bumps up is incorporating the Google Street View along with having a specific pearl, a personal URL that when they click on it or they go to it, it's on the website. It's you talking specifically to them. You're not using their name, but the picture of their house is there, and you're pitching them on a video. So it's like all of these little things adds up and it separates you from the competition.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, I created something years back that we still use now, but I only use it in my niche marketing. And I'm sure you're aware of it. It's called the tear sheet. Mm-hmm. And the tear sheets, it's stealth marketing. They're very expensive. They're like $1 to $1.10 a piece. So I won't send it out to high equity or landlords. You know, I send it out to my fire damaged properties. I send it out to my tax lien properties. I send it out to my violations. I send it out to with a list of very small, but there's a big, big amount of money. There's a huge chunk of money in these deals and a big response rate. And when we send out these tear sheets, it's like it's stealth marketing. They think it's coming from a friend and they call. 1.5, 2 points, 2.5% response rate. You're not going to close a shit ton, but you're going to close. And when you do close, you're, at least for us, we're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 wholesale spreads. Not on the renovation side, wholesale spreads. Why?
Amazing.
Because everything we're doing from the marketing piece right down to when we're meeting them at the house and every single thing in between is specific, it's strategic. We have a mission. We are tracking everything. And by the time we get to the closing table, we're just, and by the way, we market our properties to the wholesale buyers. Everything incorporated into one is just leading to big fat profit margins for the company.
Yeah. Yeah. You got, guys, hopefully you're starting to see now why Billy does so well in his business, because he's very intentional from, you know, from the first marketing piece they send out, not just a credibility perspective that we talked about, but he's not, yeah, he might send a handwritten postcard, which many other people are sending, but he's doing, it's very unique, his marketing, right? And it's a multi-step. So I'm not sure what your the follow-up sequence is, but are you sending out the first piece and then 4 to 6 weeks later, you're sending out a completely different piece that maybe references the last one and so on? Is that kind of how you're putting out?
Yeah, that's how I'm doing it. So for my, each program is a little bit different, but for the most part, you're right on the money. I space my pieces out every 30 days. Every 30 days, like clockwork, the pieces are getting sent to the mail house. They're getting printed and sent out and mailed. And every piece, like I said earlier, has its own specific telephone number. So we have you know, 95 different telephone numbers that we're tracking with all of these different pieces that we're putting out. Maybe it's over 100 telephone numbers now. And we'll see, you know, quarterly, we'll look at what pieces are working and I'll drop them. What pieces aren't working, what pieces are working, maybe we'll change the headline and do a split test to see if we can get a bump up. And then we track not only from the response rate, because we had a piece that was killing it response rate-wise in the office. I'm like, wow, this is going to be producing some numbers. And as I tracked it, I saw that we weren't converting any of those leads, those calls, into actual deals. And the reason being is the piece was pissing so many people off. They were calling like crazy to curse me out and probably take me off the list. So if you're not tracking this stuff, like, you might think it's working when it's really not. So you really need to track everything, not just the calls, but the appointments, not just the appointments, but the conversions at the house and the conversions from follow-up. All of these little pieces are going to add incremental amounts to your bottom line. You know, this expression that Dan Kennedy said years back, Dan Kennedy, the marketer, you know, small hinges swing big doors.
Love it.
You know, you've heard that, right? And so it's these small things that you could, that you do, all adding together, they're going to have a big impact on your business. It's not one thing. I get asked all the time, you know, what's the one secret, the one thing you could share with me that's going to change my business? I'm like, brother, there is no one thing. There is no one secret. The secret is you have to do a lot of small things right consistently in order to build your business. There is no one freaking thing, man. That's the secret.
Man, there's so much more I want to ask you, but I think that's a perfect way to end this show. And I think, you know, here's a way to try to put a bow on this podcast. So, you know, we started off this episode talking about making sure that if you want to scale your business, you have the systems and the infrastructure in place. I think you're starting to see now why that's so important. Billy has close to 100 unique, I'm guessing, local phone numbers to track different lists, different mail pieces, etc. If he didn't have that, he'd be flushing marketing dollars down the toilet. Because if you can't track that, you just don't understand what's working, what's not working. So this is kind of what I want to end with, is make sure that you're not just throwing money at marketing, right? And you're not just like putting a bunch of stuff out there, but that you're tracking these things and you're reviewing it, understanding, like, right there, what he just shared, the fact that, you know, he might have a direct mail piece that has a crazy response rate, whatever it is, but it's not converting any deals. If you're not tracking that, you're going to keep just dumping money into that mail piece and not realizing that people are just calling you because they're pissed off, but you're never really going to close a deal, or you might get lucky. So, you know, hopefully this is, I'm pretty confident to say that, you know, if you could just take one or two nuggets that Billy shared with you, implement it in your business. Don't go crazy trying to build out and get to where he's gotten. It's taken him years and years to get there. But, you know, you said something, Billy, that I think is powerful advice, is staying consistent, small little wins every single day. And it adds up over the course of the year, over the course of several years. You know, this wasn't built over. So, yeah, man.
You nailed it on the head, bro. And listen, I really appreciate you having me on. You've been asking me for a while now to come on. I'm glad our calendar's coordinated. You're a great guy. You're gifted. You give back. The one thing I love about Alex, everybody, if you don't know, obviously you do know him because you're on his podcast, you just give, man. You are a giver. I see it in everything you do. You don't just walk it. You don't just talk it. You walk it. And I'm proud to call you a friend, my man. You're a good individual.
Coming from you, that means a lot. I don't take that lightly. So thank you, man. I want to kind of end with one question that I always ask people, and I never prep them for it because I just want kind of the raw, honest answer. Maybe this is a question that people have asked you in the past, but I'm just curious. You know, you've succeeded, you've failed, there's so much that you've learned throughout the last 15, 20 years. If you could rewind the clock and ask the 20 or the 25-year-old Billy Alvaro, what's the one piece of advice that you would share with him? It could be about business or it just could be about life. But what's that one piece of advice you'd share with a younger Billy?
Yeah, I would say slow down and focus. I was running so fast when I was 20 years old, 25 years old, trying to be that multimillionaire. And I got what I wanted, but there was a lot of sacrifice. There was a lot of things I did wrong. And if I would have just slowed down, got myself a really good coach or mentor, and allowed them to teach me from their experiences. And I'm not talking a coach or mentor who's 5 years older. I'm talking about an older gentleman who can really take me underneath his wing. I just would slow down. I would slow down, but I would also start now. So if there's people out there who they're wanting to start and they don't know what they're doing and they're 25, 30, 35 years old, 40, first of all, you're never too young and you're never too old. So wherever you're at, start now. And if I could run back to myself, I would be just slow down and just enjoy the process.
Perfect, man. Perfect. Powerful, brother. Hey, man, where can people connect, reach out to you, find out more about, you know, your business, what you have going on, possibly even connect with you on some deals, joint venture deals, whatever it might be?
Yeah, I do a ton of joint venture deals. They can find me on Facebook. It's Facebook.com/Billy Alvaro. On Instagram, it's the same thing. Billy_Alvaro. And of course, I'm on LinkedIn as Billy Alvaro. You can find me anywhere. The website is maxreturnsrei.com and easysell411.com.
Beautiful. And guys, we'll include all those links in the show notes page. So, hey, man, again, I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I'm glad we were finally able to get our schedules to sync up. You're one of those dudes I was pushing to have on the show because you're number one, you're real, you're transparent, you're a cool dude. And you're killing it, man. And I think there's a lot of nuggets that you shared with us today that I know can help people if they just take action, if they just implement. I know that's very overused and cliche to say, but you know, you've taken the first step to like invest 30, 45 minutes into this podcast, but now what are you going to do with what you just heard? So I really appreciate you being a real guy, man.
Thanks, my man. Absolutely. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, man. Looking forward to it. Guys, I'll catch you on the next episode. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.